The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. So, welcome to the show. We are back. Yes, Nicole Sandler, coming to you live at NicoleSandler.com, Progressive Voices Network, Facebook Live, Twitch. Although, yeah, I can't get Twitch started, and I can't, for whatever reason. Yes, we're back on YouTube today, allegedly, but I can't get control of my video. And there we go. Hi, everybody. All right. So YouTube, we're back. Let's see if we can get Twitch started. And then, we'll be rolling on all cylinders. It seems like, oh, there we go. Okay. And I think Twitch is up now. Fingers crossed that it works. The suspension has been lifted. Go figure. 3 years ago, I played 20 seconds of a Don Henley song. It was actually in a What's News newscast, and I was doing a story about Elizabeth Warren going on the floor of the Senate and attempting to read a letter from Coretta Scott King when Mitch McConnell or whoever was presiding that day tried to cut her off. And she's like, excuse me, I am reading these official words into the record. And Mitch McConnell blasted her and complained about Senator Warren taking this time on the Senate floor, and he said she persisted. Well, yes, she did, and that became a thing. So when I reported on it, I punctuated the story, as I sometimes do, with a little musical clip, and it was 20 seconds of Don Henley singing, I Will Not Go Quietly, I Will Not Lie Down. Again, that was in February of 2017. Well, in, I don't know if it was June or July, all of a sudden I get a copyright strike notification. And not only, I mean, I get them all the time. They're content IDs where a publisher or an artist, usually not an artist, a label or a publisher will say, oh, you played our music, so we're going to take the advertising. Fine. They take so much revenue. I don't really make any money from streaming on YouTube. But such as it is. Anyway, so I got a copyright strike, and then they suspended my streaming capabilities for 90 days. So it was up yesterday. We're back. I see some old friends. Hello, YouTubers. Welcome back. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being patient. I know some of you weren't. We started streaming in the meantime on Facebook Live and on Periscope and on Twitch, and we're going to keep those going as long as my bandwidth can support it all. And here we are, just in time. Aw, Environmental Coffee House, thank you so much. Because we do have the Super Chat, which allows you to make a contribution to the program, via YouTube. So thank you for that. All right, so on to the show. Oh my goodness. The Senate Judiciary Committee hearings for Amy Coney Phoney Barrett to be confirmed to the Supreme Court have concluded, basically. Today was the fourth day, and what they had today were witnesses both for and against her confirmation. Honestly, I didn't watch much. I couldn't get past yesterday. She, God, is just not a good person. You know, she's one of those people who wears her religion on her sleeve, yet, sorry, as an atheist Jew, I'm more Christian than she is. I am. I believe in doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? I believe in... my voice sounds rested, full, and smooth. Okay, thank you, Jean. I don't know about that, but good. I'm glad to hear that the audio is okay, because that's always a concern. So, I want to start today with, it's not a funny exactly. It is. Oh, I have the wrong thing up. don't I? It is a it's an ad. It's an ad from a group called Demand Justice, and they put out this ad. It just runs a minute. Let me share this with you. See if I can get it up on the screen. Here we go. All right. So again, it's from Demand Justice, and here's what they put out.
The next president, whoever that may be, is going to be the person who chooses the next Supreme Court justice.
But on the day Justice Ginsburg died, Mitch broke his promise.
The Senate will vote on this nomination this year.
He wasn't the only one.
Let's let the next president, whoever it might be, make that nomination. And you could use my words against me, and you'd be absolutely right.
We're not going to nominate a Supreme Court justice until the people have spoken.
Give the people a voice on
Joni Ernst.
You don't do this in an election year.
Raphael Cruz.
Next president should make
Donald
the pick.
Trump.
We don't have a very long distance to wait.
How could they be so blatant? Here's how.
They don't care about getting caught lying to our faces
or being called hypocrites. They care about getting to take away health care, reproductive rights, civil rights. Their plans for us don't end at lies. They're coming for our health and our rights. And it's time to stop them.
Stop Barrett. Call your senators, 202-224-3121. So there are a number of ads like that. But possibly the most effective thing against Amy Phony Barrett are her own words. I got to tell you, I did watch all the hearings up until today. I really didn't watch today. But I assembled a couple of WTF moments from the last few days. There was this wonderful part where I think it was Ben Sasse of Nebraska thought he was throwing her a softball, but Amy Coney Barrett could not name the five freedoms that are protected under the First Amendment.
What are the five freedoms of the First Amendment?
Speech, religion, press, assembly.
And?
Speech, press, religion, assembly.
And?
I don't know. What am I missing?
Redress or protest.
Protest. Okay. Protest. You know what that reminded me of?
Oops.
That was Rick Perry. Remember Rick Perry, who couldn't remember the name of the department that he eventually became secretary of? This is what's the problem with Republicans. They're really not too bright. So, and especially at a time when our government is targeting peaceful protesters with the military, she doesn't remember that our rights to redress or rights for protest are protected under the First Amendment. Not a good look. Then there was, I got to tell you, what a shit show it was. John Kennedy, who I understand is very educated, but does this all shucks kind of country bumpkin act so that I don't know what to dumb himself down for the American public. John Kennedy, what a drag on that name. And he actually had the gall to say this.
And I know, for someone unaccustomed to it, that it hurts to be called a racist. I think it's one of the worst things you can call an American.
Really? Just think, Mr. Kennedy, Senator, excuse me, Senator Kennedy, of how, you know, people of color or Jews or minorities feel when racists address them or us. You think it's so bad to be called a racist? It's worse when a racist singles you out. You should try it sometime. Then there was Tom Tillis, who hopefully is going down to defeat in North Carolina in less than 3 weeks. And he actually, listen to what the question he asked, and listen to this kiss-ass, sycophantic, piece of crap, poser, woman. She doesn't, you know, again, you know, the belief of this sect that she belongs to says women are subservient to men, and maybe that's why she didn't correct Tom Tillis.
Every American should have safe access to the vote, and I for one hope that every registered voter in this country vote on November 11th. That may be a stretch goal, but do you agree with that?
Of course.
Of course.
Yes.
Vote on November 11th. Hey, Republicans, go vote on November 11th. Seriously? So Amy Coney Barrett, either she thought Election Day is November 11th, she doesn't know when Election Day is, or she just says women shouldn't correct men. I don't know which is the answer. Do not know. And then there was Miss Lindsey. Oh, Lindsey Graham, who actually said this.
Did you think Brown versus Board of Education super president is that you're not aware of any effort to go back to the good old days of segregation by a legislative body? Is that correct?
What?
That is correct. And I also said that in lectures that Brown was correct as an original matter.
Yeah, Laffy does a very good Amy Coney Barrett, but I learned after listening to her a little more that not only is her voice really high-pitched, but it's very staccato. She almost sounds like an alien, like a conehead. And maybe that's what she is. Anyway, the good old days of segregation, and again, if I don't, somebody that I respected would say, excuse me, Senator, the days of segregation were anything but good. Oh, and later on, he corrected himself to reporters out in the hallway. If you couldn't tell that I was kidding, then, you know what, Lindsey Graham, just like Donald Trump, your job is not that of a comedian. You're charged with something very serious here. It's time to be serious. You're not funny. Stop trying to make jokes. Got it? Good. And then there was Amy Coney Barrett herself, who actually had the gall to say this.
I certainly hope that all members of the committee have more confidence in my integrity than to think that I would allow myself to be used as a pawn to decide this election for the American people.
Wait a minute. I need to get the laugh track up again.
I certainly hope that all members of the committee have more confidence in
her integrity. Confidence in her integrity. I don't have any. What would give us confidence that you have integrity? Anybody with an ounce of integrity would say what the Republicans are doing here right now, not even waiting till Ruth Bader Ginsburg's body was cold before they announced they're going to replace her, not waiting until she's buried to announce that she's the nominee. Any other person, any jurist with integrity would say, thanks, but let's wait until after the election. She even said it. She said it 4 years ago in 2016 that Antonin Scalia's seat shouldn't be filled until the next president was elected. And it should be someone who doesn't differ terribly from his very conservative point of view. So, Amy Coney Barrett, you have no integrity. Oh, by the way, she lied under oath. She did. And I know that because I heard Al Franken talking about it last night. Yes, Al Franken was on MSNBC, I think, with Brian Williams. And it was enlightening because Al Franken used to sit on the Judiciary Committee and he was there and he questioned Amy Coney Barrett when she came up for confirmation for her seat, her current seat on the, I think it's the 7th District Court of Appeals. Now, make no mistake, she was unqualified for that position too. She was a law professor at Notre Dame. She's never tried a case. She had never been a judge before. Now she's been a judge for 2 years and 10 months. Hey, I'm sure all those, 30-year career veteran judges who followed the letter of the law are just thrilled with the idea of Amy Coney Barrett being named to the Supreme Court. But here's what happened. So the segment with Al Franken last night opens with Al Franken questioning Amy Coney Barrett during those confirmation hearings back 3 years ago. All right, take it away, Al.
The Southern Poverty Law Center, which tracks hate groups, describes ADF as a group that has, quote, supported the recriminalization of homosexuality in the United States and criminalization abroad. Professor Barrett, if my understanding is correct, the payments you received from ADF were connected to presentations you delivered at ADF's training seminars.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
You were not aware when you
went
the gig.
By the time I spoke, I was aware.
Okay. By the time she spoke, she was aware.
When she was initially nominated for the federal bench, that was Judge Amy Coney Barrett back in 2017 under questioning by our next guest. But this was Judge Barrett's response to that same line of questioning just yesterday.
Yesterday.
Aware of ADF's decades-long efforts to recriminalize homosexuality.
I am not aware of those efforts, no.
She's not aware of them. But she told Al Franken just less than 3 years ago that she was aware of them. You know what that makes her, don't you? And lying really doesn't look good on a Supreme Court nominee. So, derail this thing. Stop it in its tracks. How? Good question. And that's the million-dollar question. But Zephyr Teachout, a lawyer of note, who, by the way, will be our guest tomorrow on this program, she tweeted out something. Hold on. It looks like she's been very busy on Twitter today. And let me see if I can't find the tweet I originally found. I know I can't find it. But she's saying the House needs to do something. And if you want to stop Barrett, focus on the House. Again, this is Zephyr Teachout on Twitter. She wrote, the House can send over a big COVID bill that McConnell has to deal with. Send over articles of impeachment of Bill Barr. Go for that. Get out there, speak out, and pressure Pelosi. None of it could work, but goddamn, we have to try. Damn straight. So a number of us have been tweeting at our members of Congress today. I added my tweet to my congressman, who's Ted Deutch, and I wrote, if I can find, I was busy on Twitter today too, Dear Ted Deutch, as a constituent, I urge you to do your part to stop Republicans from hijacking the Supreme Court and our democracy. Ask Speaker Pelosi to do the House's part to stop or delay Trump's nomination by sending the Senate a stimulus bill or by impeaching Trump's corrupt officials. We got nothing to lose, but instead, what we're stuck with are people like Dianne Feinstein. Dianne Feinstein, who is the ranking Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee, I can't even bring myself to tell you what she did at the end of the hearing today. And I missed it because I wasn't watching it. But thanks to the Twitter machines, it lives on forever. First, she goes over and gives Lindsey Graham a big maskless hug. So if Lindsey is either infected, knowingly or unknowingly, Dianne Feinstein now is too. And in that case, I'd say good riddance to the both of them. But then she went on to praise Barrett, seriously, and praised Graham for the great job he did in leading this hearing. Excuse me, Dianne Feinstein, it's time for you to go home. And if you're not going to go home, then please listen to these singers.
I just need you to shut the fuck up, because nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
Yeah, so, yeah, I know she won't, but I'm sure hoping she'll retire. What is she, like 87 already? Look, Ruth Bader Ginsburg should have retired when Barack Obama was still in office. I loved Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I will never say a bad word about her, but I wish she would have retired while Obama was still in office so that, well, so that we could have gotten somebody in there who was not Amy Coney Barrett. Not Amy Coney Barrett. All right. Let me play you a little song, and then we'll come back with a little bit of news and Howie Klein on the way. All right. This is a new one from Founder Singh. It's kind of an original, but kind of not. Here we go. I think. Amy Coney Barrett reveals her true intentions at her confirmation hearing.
So, Amy, now that you're about to occupy my seat, what exactly are your plans?
Row, row, row V Wade, I will overturn. Rich people, don't despair, I'll trash Obamacare and you'll keep what you earn. Vote, 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 who cares? Trump will say it's rigged. I'll throw him a lifeline, I'm here for a lifetime and I don't give a fig. If you're LGBTQ or whatever, you'll never have equal rights. If law and order stops you at the border or on your own corner, don't put up a fight. You could lose your life.
Sorry.
Row, row, row V Wade, I will overturn. Legislate from the bench, taking our sweet revenge, and you will all get burned. G, 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 O, P, let's conquer and divide. The Dems are delusional, so what's constitutional? That's what I'll decide.
You're listening to The Nicole Sandler Show on the Progressive Voices Network and NicoleSandler.com.
All right, we are back. We're back. All right, the news. I mean, so much of the news has to do with obviously the shit show at the Supreme Court this week. In COVID news, it's up. The cases are up everywhere, not just here in the U.S. where we never got out of the first wave, but in Europe, where it appears that the long predicted second wave has arrived. And they're looking at new regulations, new shutdowns, and trying to keep from shutting down. There's a new curfew in effect in England. And as much as the Trump people will not be transparent with us, the Biden people are. And this morning we learned that, well, Kamala Harris has canceled all travel plans after two people involved with her campaign tested positive. A flight crew member and Harris's communications director both tested positive. But they also told us that neither of them have had contact with either Biden or Harris or any other staffers since testing positive or in the 48 hours prior to their positive test results. But out of an abundance of caution, she's off the road, because that's what you do. That's what you do. All right. We talked about the hearing. Oh, I know. There's one other story that I really want to play for you. And actually, I don't have it written out, but I did take the this story. Let Brian Williams tell you what this is about. Just know that the Trump administration has lied to you every step of the way.
Things on the potential impact of the pandemic fueled a sell-off among the wealthy.
A sell-off. Stop.
The Times reports it this way. The president's aides appeared to be giving wealthy party donors an early warning of a potentially impactful contagion at a time when Mr. Trump was publicly insisting that the threat was non-existent. Elite traders had access to information from the administration that helped them gain financial advantage during a chaotic 3 days when global markets were teetering.
So he tipped off his friends so they could dump their stocks before a big sell-off? Nancy Pelosi, file new charges of impeachment. It'll stop the Senate for at least a couple of days. Unbelievable. Yeah, Rudy says no one's dying of COVID anymore. Right, sure. But I got to tell you this other thing. Do you remember when this happened? It was right around Mother's Day. It was in May when Philip Rooker of the Washington Post asked Donald Trump this question.
Mr. President, in one of your Mother's Day tweets, you appear to accuse President Obama of the biggest political crime in American history by far. Those were your words. What crime exactly are you accusing President Obama of committing, and do you believe the Justice Department should prosecute him?
Obamagate.
Obamagate.
It's been going on for a long time. It's been going on from before I even got elected.
Bullshit.
And it's a disgrace that it happened. And if you look at what's gone on, and if you look at now all of this information that's being released, and from what I understand, that's only the beginning. Some terrible things happened, and
oh
it should
God.
Never be allowed to happen in our country again.
Really? What?
And you'll be seeing what's going on over the next, over the coming weeks, but I wish you'd write honestly about it, but unfortunately, you choose not to do so. Yeah, John, please.
Crime. What is the crime exactly?
What is the crime exactly?
You know what the crime is. The crime is very obvious to everybody.
No.
All you have to do is read the newspapers, except yours.
Well, I still really am not sure what Obamagate was, but I do know that Trump's contrived scandals surrounding Obama all fell apart this week. Here's what I could cobble together for you. After a document was declassified, revealing the names of Obama officials who sought to unmask the name of an unidentified American caught in intelligence report, who later turned out to be Michael Flynn, Trump and Fox went all in on the story. The gist of their narrative was that Obama and members of his administration, including Joe Biden, participated in a deep state plot to improperly use the levers of government to win the 2016 election. Obviously, it didn't turn out too well for them if that's what they did. But anyway, Fox was obsessed with this unmasking story, portraying it as the greatest political scandal in American history. But the conspiracy theory collapsed Tuesday night when the Washington Post noted that a Department of Justice inquiry into the supposed scandal commissioned by Attorney General Bill Barr ended with without any findings of wrongdoing. Fox barely mentioned the dud. They were too busy covering a new scandal perpetrated by yet another Murdoch media outlet. Wednesday morning, just a few hours after the Washington Post shattered Trump's favorite conspiracy of Obamagate, the New York Post published a story targeting Hunter Biden. I was wondering when they were going to bring him up again. The front page story was written by a former producer of Sean Hannity's show. Of course it was. And it claimed a smoking gun email proved that then Vice President Biden had met with a Burisma. Remember Burisma Holdings? A Burisma advisor at the urging of his son. By the way, Donald Trump tried to talk about this story last night at his rally in Iowa.
8 months after his alleged meeting with the Burmese executives.
Burisma.
So this Burmese, they say, pronounce it Burisma.
No, they don't. No,
a
they
real
don't.
Beautiful company.
It's Burisma. Burisma. It's not Burmesia. He's such a liar. But anyway, yeah. So the thing is, Biden's campaign said no such meeting ever took place and that the New York Post, quote, never asked the Biden campaign about the critical elements of the story. The story, though, depended on some very strange sourcing. According to the New York Post, a laptop was dropped off at a repair shop in Delaware in 2019. It had water damage. The laptop was never picked up. And unexplained is why the owner of the shop didn't get the information about the owner of the laptop. Have you ever dropped off an expensive piece of equipment, a computer, a laptop, to a repair shop and not left your information? Well, the owner of the shop, according to the tabloid, could not ID the customer as Hunter Biden, but saw that the laptop had a Bo Biden Foundation sticker on it. The Post said that the shop owner made the bizarre decision to make a copy of the hard drive before it was supposedly seized by the FBI. And then the shop owner gave it to Rudy Giuliani's lawyer. Well, as lots of people have pointed out, key parts of the story just don't add up. And the shop owner, in a conversation with reporters yesterday, showed that he's not the brightest bulb in the chandelier and not the most reliable source either, because he invoked the Seth Rich conspiracy theory, among other things. But the pro-Trump media rushed to amplify the story. Trump mentioned it at a rally. Again, Burmesia Yeah. Where else? It was on Fox all day. Senator Ron Johnson promised a Senate probe. And again, it was all over Fox. Well, it's bullshit. It is just plain and simple
bullshit.
There's no there. It's made up. Hey, somebody dropped off a laptop here. I pulled this stuff off the hard drive. Can you believe it?
Now, I'm Amy Coney Barrett, and I can't give an opinion on that.
Well, Max Boot, in his Washington Post column, put it very eloquently. And I'm not the biggest Max Boot fan, but he wrote, "The real scandal is that Trump and his cult followers hurl so many insane accusations and never recant or apologize. While claiming to be a victim of McCarthyism, Trump is, in fact, its foremost modern practitioner. His mentor, Joseph McCarthy's henchman, Roy Cohn, would be proud of him." Yeah, that says it all. It's just more bullshit over more bullshit over more bullshit. And it's only going to get worse. Somebody's calling and I don't really have time, but all right, let's see who it is. Hi, who's this? Hello, you got to turn down the radio because we've got a little delay here. Oh, it seems like they hung up. Okay, that's good because I got Howie Klein coming up and I really didn't want to stop down for a phone call, but you know I will when you call in because I'm that way. All right. Well, you know what time it is. Mix up those Dirty Debbies, please.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Nicole Sandler, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. It's another Thursday. It's been what? It's been like 8 months or longer, it seems, since we, you know, entered this quarantine period. And at the beginning, you know, I'm counting the weeks along, thinking, oh, it'll just be a few weeks and we'll be back to normal. I don't think we're ever going to be back to normal, do you?
I don't know. I mean, there'll be a new normal.
Yeah. Well, there's already a new normal, but it's a frightening one.
But I think things will get a lot better.
Do you? I mean, I hope they will. They should immediately. Like, if we get the landslide that we need on November 3rd, this can all be over that night. You know, there are so many horrible scenarios out there where the counting is going to go on for weeks and weeks. But if people turn out in the huge numbers they appear to be, and most of them are voting, you know, against Trump, then hopefully this will all end the night of November 3rd, and I'll have a good happy birthday on the 4th.
Yeah, well, that's a fantasy. It's not going to all end on November 4th because Trump is going to still be in office.
Yeah.
Until January 20th or whatever it is.
Well, that's true.
We still have something to contend with that's going to be possibly hideous.
Yeah, the period, the lame duck period, and hopefully it will be that because what I'm saying is I hope the votes are so overwhelming against him that there's going to be no question that he lost the election. Now, we're going to still have to deal with, I think it's like a 78-day period, the lame duck period, known as the interregnum or something like that. And it's going to be horrible. I have no illusions that he's not going to try to pull every trick in the book he can to destroy whatever's left. I mean, he will pull a scorched earth move on his way out of the White House if he leaves.
Maybe. That's a good possibility that he'll do something horrible like that. But I think his main thoughts are going to be keeping out of jail. And I think he'll offer a deal to keep himself and his family out of prison in return for him, you know, not doing anything that's going to really be harmful to the country. And it's in Biden's nature to want to go along with something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. No, I know.
I don't have inside information. It's just a thought that I have. That's all.
I hear you. No, and it concerns me, too. There are so many different theories floating around of what could happen. And the bottom line is we just don't know until it happens. Look, a lot of people thought there was no way that Mike Pence was going to remain on the ticket, that he was going to be replaced by Nikki Haley. So, you know, just shows you never know. But that said, there are some throwing out the idea that when Trump finally realizes the writing on the wall, that he resigns. Mike Pence, you know, takes over and pardons Trump and his family. But then Amy Coney Barrett says that, you know, she wouldn't say that a president cannot pardon himself. So, oh, my God, you didn't watch much of the hearings, huh?
No, I watched, as I said, the lowlights.
The lowlights, of which there were many. I have a whole wall of things on which she would not give an opinion. It was so frustrating listening to this woman and hearing her lie through her teeth. There was a segment that I played earlier that Brian Williams last night showed, that when Al Franken sat on the Senate Judiciary Committee, he was among those who questioned her when she was confirmed for her current role as a judge on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. And she said that she did not know that the ADF, some fringe group that she's a supporter of, who she has worked for, who she signed on to their works, wants to reverse the law and like outlaw homosexuality. I mean, it's that intense. And she said she told Al Franken under oath questioning that she learned of those leanings before she delivered her speech, but she didn't know about them when she accepted the job. Well, on Tuesday, she answered a question and said she wasn't familiar with those leanings of this group. To me, that sure sounds like perjury, and should render her not fit for the Supreme Court. But is there anybody with any balls who's going to do anything about it?
No.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the problem here. And then did you see what Dianne Feinstein did at the end of the hearing today?
Oh, yes. That's on anyone's list of lowlights. Don't worry.
Oh, my God. I already talked about it, but she needs to go home. I'm sorry. I can say that Ruth Bader Ginsburg should have gone home before Obama left office. Dianne Feinstein needs to go home now. And she's not even up for election this year. We've got another 2 years of her if she lasts that long.
Who knows? But the thing is with her is that she was primaried by someone really good. And it was basically all of inland California voted against her. And it was basically just the coastal cities that just where everyone, not everyone, but where there are a lot of Democrats who just do what they're told, they all voted for her. The all of inland California, like, overwhelmingly voted against her.
But they should.
Yes, as they should have, and they did. But she still won re-election. I think it was one of her toughest races ever. But there she is, you know, doing just what we thought she would do, making a mess of things.
Yep. Yeah. So, Howie Klein, I'm reading downwithtyranny.com, as I'm wont to do. And you have a piece up here that you posted today, this morning. A question too ugly for most of us to contemplate. Why are almost 40% of American voters supporting this orange blot on humanity? You got me. I can't figure it out. And I've said oftentimes, I would like to talk with somebody, not like to, but I have a million questions for somebody who actually admits to supporting this guy. Why? What is it? I don't get it, unless they're of that weird religious cult that is waiting for the end times and think he's the Antichrist and is going to you know, get it going sooner.
No, I think they mostly think he's the reincarnation of Christ.
Oh my God!
Not the Antichrist. They love him. But you know who might be interesting for you to talk to? I don't know that he would talk to you, but a senator from Nebraska, Ben Sasse.
Oh God! Yes.
The Sasse was Sasse. I think it's Sasse.
It's Sasse.
Yeah. So he on a conference call. I don't know if you saw.
I saw this. I tweeted to him that he should say it out loud because the truth will set you free. But go ahead. There's audio from a conference call in which he said what?
In which he said that Trump is up the, kissing asses of dictators.
Yep.
And he just went through all of the criticisms that you hear about Trump basically from progressives.
Yep.
He went through all of them. But here's someone who does some things like this every now and then. And yet he voted for quitting Trump, it wasn't exactly acquittal, but basically that's what it was.
Right, yeah.
And he never breaks with Trump.
Never.
He talks big talk, but in the end, he's just this spineless guy who goes along with everything, no matter how bad it is, and the things he complains about, he'll vote for all of them as well. So if you want to talk to somebody who supports Trump, and knows what's wrong with Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Ben would be a real good one for you to ask to come on the show.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't. Because honestly, I couldn't. You know me, Howie. I tend to say what I think, and I would tell Ben Sasse exactly what I thought of him. So it wouldn't go well. It wouldn't go well.
Well, it would be entertaining radio.
Oh, it would. But I don't think he would do it. I mean, all they'd have to do is check out my show and realize, yeah, this wouldn't go well. But, you know, yeah, apparently Ben Sasse says he mistreats women, kisses dictators' butts, and privately mocks evangelicals to constituents. A woman asks Sasse why he has to criticize Trump so much. And in response, Sasse points to areas in which he agrees with Trump, then criticizes his response to the coronavirus and more. So I guess when he doesn't think he's on the air, he'll say these things.
Right, but he was speaking publicly on a conference call to a lot of his constituents. Now, mm-hmm. I shouldn't say a lot, but I gathered that it wasn't just one person. It was,
right.
It was quite a... So he had to have known that he would be in jeopardy of having this exposed.
Now, he's up for re-election? So who's running against him?
No one.
No one? He's running unopposed?
Basically. I mean, there's like... There's some, you know, there is someone, but what happened, I believe, is that there was a Democrat who was going to run, and he got disqualified, or he withdrew from the race for some reason, and now we're stuck with, you know, no, basically no one.
I gotcha. That sucks. So Howie, we are, you know, less than 3 weeks away from Election Day. Obviously, Blue America has a bunch of viable candidates. And maybe next week we run them down, unless you'd like to take a couple of minutes and go through now who's out there that our listeners could be voting for at the moment.
Yes, that's right. At the moment, for example, California is voting right now.
Yes.
Their ballots, and they're turning them in every day in great numbers. And same in Florida is the same, Texas is the same, and we have lots of really good candidates. Now, these are people who won their primaries or came through their primaries. In some cases, they didn't have opponents who are up for re-election now. I'm sorry, up for general election now. So
yeah.
That would include, just as a few examples, in California, we have Audrey Denny and Liam O'Mara. Audrey ran last time against a right-wing Republican named Doug LaMalfa.
Mm-hmm.
She did well. It's an R+11 district. I think it's tied for the most right-wing district in the state of California. It's the northeast corner of the state where California comes together with Nevada and Oregon.
Okay.
Very right-wing area.
Okay.
And she did very well, and she's running again. And there's hope this time that she can win. I've seen some private polling that a friend of mine did, Solyndra Lake. Have you had Solyndra on the show?
I have, not in many years, but she's great. She's really good on messaging and poll. Yeah, she's wonderful.
Yeah, she's one of the best pollsters there is.
Yep.
Yeah, she's amazing. And she finds that it's a margin of error vote now. I mean, it's going to really, they're about tied, and it's just all going to depend on turnout.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding that all over the country. In very, 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 very red districts, progressive Democrats are tying them. And it's going to be, you know, right down to the last minute. For some, and I'm not talking about, you know, the easy ones that are, you know, R+2 and R+3 and R+4. Those districts are going to be won. I'm talking about districts R+11,
wow.
R+9. We have 7 candidates who are in districts with an average of R+10. 7 of them.
Wow.
And every one of those 7 is now a viable candidate. Some of them, in fact, the DCCC has even brought into their Red to Blue program, and we're talking about, you know, solid progressives now. So, very, very good news, and it's all over the country. In Texas, we have 2 as well, Mike Siegel and Julie Oliver.
Right.
In Florida, we've got a race that no one in the world would have guessed could turn into something real.
Adam
Nobody
Christensen, and I'm
That's
seeing
Adam
his name
Christensen
everywhere.
Up in Gainesville area,
yeah.
Florida 3, where Ted Yoho abandoned his seat.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's a, you know, heavily, I think also R+11, you know, very, very, very Republican district. And all of a sudden, it's kind of a statistical dead heat. Amazing the job that Adam has done.
Yes.
A 26-year-old kid.
Incredible. He's great. So hope he wins. There are a number of, by the way, you mentioned Liam O'Mara. Let me just put out a thing. I recorded an interview with him a couple of weeks ago to play, and we've been so busy I haven't had a chance to air it. Monday, I'm having a colonoscopy. So that's one of the things that I'll play on Monday. It'll be a new show. But, you know, it'll be a recorded show, but it'll be new content that people haven't heard before, including the Liam O'Mara interview. And he's a fascinating man. I hope he wins.
Really, really smart. I mean, he would automatically, bring up the average IQ of Congress by several points if he were elected. Uh-huh. This is a history professor.
Yeah.
Very, very, very smart. Very, very, very savvy. And he's running against someone who we call Crooked Ken Calvert.
Ugh.
I mean, when Fox News was looking for someone as an example of grotesque, I mean, I don't mean normal, everyday corruption, but I mean grotesque corruption in Congress. And they didn't, you know, they weren't looking especially for a Democrat or a Republican. They're just looking for someone who was grotesque beyond belief. And they found Ken Calvert and did a whole half-hour show on it, hosted by Mike Wallace.
Oh, okay.
And that's the guy who he's running against.
Wow.
And they didn't even
wow.
touch on any of the salacious stuff. I mean, this guy was caught with his pants down with an underage hooker in a police car. There's a police, you know, there's a police record that's very readily available down with tyranny and other places. And when the police caught him and they shined their flashlights into his car, he jumped out of the car and ran away with his pants around his ankles.
Mm-hmm.
He was under.
Wow.
And that isn't even any of the stuff that Fox was talking about. They're just talking about all of the examples of personal corruption, of him, you know, doing things that would benefit his own pocketbook. Like, just for example, buying really cheap land out in the desert that was worthless, so buying it for pennies, and then having a federal highway go right by the land, so suddenly the land is extremely valuable, and then he sells it and makes a fortune. That's just one example. That's the kind of guy Ken Calvert is, and that's who Liam O'Mara is running against in Riverside County, California.
Right. Now, you've also mentioned, you know, that Blue America has gotten behind a number of candidates who don't necessarily win their first try, but they come back and they try again. The name recognition is up, and they win the second time. It happened with Donna Edwards and a number of others. Well, this
and
time.
Alan Grayson.
Alan Grayson.
We've had a lot of candidates who that has happened with. And this time we have a whole bunch of them who are trying. We have some who are trying for the first time, like Adam Christensen in Florida, who we were just talking about. But we also have some really great candidates who look like they're going to win this
Marie
time.
Marie Newman.
Ran last time.
Right.
I mentioned Audrey Denny up in Northern California, but also Mike Siegel and Julie Oliver, both of whom are in
Texas,
the Austin area, Texas, or their districts start there. I mean, it's weird districts that are, you know, completely gerrymandered. Mike's goes into the suburbs of Houston, and Julie's goes into the suburbs of Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very strange.
Marie Newman, we haven't talked about
Republicans.
Right. I want to touch on Marie Newman, who came so close last time, and this time.
Right.
It should be a shoo-in, right, in Illinois.
It's a shoo-in. She won the primary. That's a Democratic district, and whoever wins the primary is the nominee.
Awesome. And Kara Eastman.
I'm sorry. Yes, whoever wins the primary is the nominee, but whoever wins the primary is also going to be going to Congress and go over there now and start measuring the drapes.
Awesome. And so I urge people, go to, if you go to downwithtyranny.com, you'll see a little Blue America box. If you click on that, it'll bring you to the Blue America 18 page, but it's really the Blue America 20 page. And there's a whole bunch of candidates there. You can split a contribution between all of them. I guess we're getting down to the wire, but they could still use money because it's the last
minute
push.
Very much use the money. We're going to do a story about that this weekend, about what candidates can do with last minute money. And where they explain in their own words what they need it for and how it gets spent.
Oh, good. Okay.
And by the way, just since you mentioned it, I'll just say that all of a sudden, I don't know what happened to my blog, but all that stuff on the side of the blog, for no apparent reason, went all the way to the bottom of the
Seriously?
Blog. So you can find it at the very bottom of my blog, that little strip that says Blue America, that's there. But it's at the bottom now.
Not on my page.
Why did we go there? I don't even know how to get into the place where you could make it go there.
Well, on my computer, it's fine.
So I could correct it, and I can't do it. So it's just like, you know, ghosts or magic or something.
Yeah, but just so you know, Howie, on my computer, it looks just like it always does. There's no problem. So maybe it's the same.
Really?
Yeah. It looks fine here. I can even, let me bring it up on another browser, and I'll tell you. But there's no problem. No problem
here.
What
do you use? What do you? We shouldn't get into this now.
And
bore the.
I'm on Firefox, but I'm going to bring it up on Chrome now and see if it does the same thing.
Because I use the other thing, not Firefox,
Chrome?
The one that Apple.
Apple. Oh, I see. Now on Chrome. Yep, you're right. On Chrome, it's. I think I have to scroll all the way. You're right. It's all foobar on Chrome. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. That Chrome is Google's browser, and it's just not working right. So, all right, you got a challenge on your hand. I'll put the link on my blog at NicoleSandler.com, so you can get there to the Blue America page. You're doing something this weekend with Blue America,
We started today.
Oh, you started today.
Blue America and CPAC. So CPAC, I should say.
Okay.
CPAC.
Scared me for a second.
Which is Sustainable Energy and Environment. It's a caucus in Congress. So it's the Sikh caucus.
Uh-huh.
So they, and they're all just all about, and there are no Republicans in it, needless to say. It's all Democrats. And there are a lot of old friends of Blue America's, many who we helped to get elected, like Ilhan Omar and Matt Cartwright.
Yes.
These are people who have, super concern about the environment and about climate change. And they've always raised money, but they've always given the money to incumbents who need it for reelection. Okay, fair enough. But what I said to them this year is, hey, why don't you try something new?
Mm-hmm.
How about doing a fundraiser and try to raise some money for the candidates you're endorsing, because they are endorsing candidates, very, very, very good ones who are also concerned. The candidates they endorse are it's just a one-issue thing. It's just the environment, or I should say the environment and climate. So that's who, and they're endorsing quite a few, and a lot of them are also endorsed by Blue America. So we did a joint fundraiser for just those candidates, the ones who were endorsed by both Blue America and Sikh caucuses, Sikh PAC. So today, Blue America sent out a letter, and I put up a post on my blog, which is up now.
and explaining what we're trying to do and why we're trying to raise the money. Some of the candidates talk about it as well. And again, you know, they need this last minute money for a variety of reasons. All good. A lot of it has to do with the get out the vote. And as I've been saying on this call, we have a lot of situations where it's really they're tied races, and it's all going to be about who can get out the vote. That's it. Democrats get out the vote, we're going to turn seats. If the Republicans get out the vote better, then they will keep their seats. These are, we're talking about really, really good challengers who are running against very right-wing Republicans who never had a thought that they might lose because their seats are so red.
Wow.
You know, people like Doug LaMalfa in California, and people like Michael McCall and Roger Williams in Texas. These are very, very bad people, and they are also, you know, aside from just being terrible, which they all are, they're also all Trump toadies.
Uh-huh.
And they none of them stand up to him at all. And, you know, people say, well, who's going to stand up to Trump? Well, you know what? Today, the governor of Massachusetts, Charlie Baker, who is a Republican, was elected as a Republican and serves as a Republican, happens to be the most popular governor in America, he said he would not vote for Donald Trump and doesn't think Donald Trump should be president. So
right.
It can be done. It's just most of them are too cowardly to do it.
Well, but Howie, with the writing on the wall, I mean, it seems inevitable that he's going to go down and go down hard. Aren't some of these people whose seats are in danger going to try to put some daylight between them? I mean, I used to think, all right, in the primary, they have to be all over him. But for the general, that's when they can start putting some distance between them. No?
Well, if they had guts, they would. But
yeah.
They're afraid to. Trump's base is partially their base, but not entirely. And if they don't have Trumpists, or if Trumpists turn on them, they can't win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can't lose any of the Trump voters in most of the districts. Now, that puts them in a hard position. I mean, some right-wing districts you don't have to worry about. You know, there's so many Republicans, it just doesn't matter. But that's not the districts we're talking about. We're talking about districts where independents make the final decision,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, maybe it's, you know, and most of the Florida and California districts are like that. There are so many independents or non-affiliated voters that the Democrats vote for the Democrats, the Republicans vote for the Republicans, and then the independents decide who's going to be the winner.
Right.
So the Republicans are in a bad position, the incumbents, because if they turn on Trump, then the Republicans are not going to vote against them. They're just not going to vote for them. But if they don't turn on Trump, the independents are going to vote against them. That's the problem that they find themselves in.
Yeah.
And don't they deserve it?
Oh, they do. Oh, they do. Are you going to watch either of these competing town halls tonight? I'm sure you're not.
No, tomorrow I'll watch the low light.
The high cap.
The
highlights, the whatever. Yeah, you know, I'm watching all the comments about NBC, and I'm really shocked that they're allowing themselves to be played like this. Did you hear Donald Trump's comments about them? He's
yes.
calling them Comcast. You know, unbelievable. It's like they're saying, okay, here, you do what you will with us. I don't understand. If I was a stockholder, I'd be really pissed.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's making fun of them. He's making fun of their parent company.
Everybody.
And he's claiming it was their idea for this to happen, and I happen to know that's a lie. It was his idea, and he thought it would be, like, funny to compete with Biden, since Biden already had an ABC town hall planned. Trump thought, well, you know, he's more entertaining, and people will tune into him, and Biden will be left, you know, unable to reach an audience.
The whole thing is a shit
and then
show.
Tomorrow, Trump will claim that he had the bigger audience.
Of course he will. Of course he will.
He's already like written that speech, regardless of who has the bigger audience.
Oh my God, the whole thing is just 18 days. I think it's 18 days, something like that. And then we have another fight on our hands. But let's get past November 3rd first. Howie Klein, as always, thank you. Have a great night. Everybody should go to downwithtyranny.com and the Blue America page. I will link to them both on my blog at NicoleSandler.com and help out. Thanks, Howie. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Tomorrow, the one and only Zephyr Teachout will be here tomorrow. I'm sure she's got plenty to say about Amy Coney Barrett and everything else going on. So thank you for listening. We're back on YouTube. Thanks, YouTubers. Thanks, everybody. I'll see you tomorrow. Keep the faith, baby.